This is their concept today about Shafa'a and Wasila, which returns them to the same concept of Abu Jahl. There will be no Shafa'a, no intercession for Mushrikeen at the Day of Judgment. The Prophet ﷺ says, my Shafa'a will be given to those who believe that La ilaha illallah. Those who die while committing no shirk, associating no partners beside Allah, those deserve to be given Shafa'a. Not those qualities people, those who speak to the Prophet and they don't address their calls and needs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, oh Muhammad, no. Muhammad is against them. Muhammad said, if you ever ask Allah alone, if you ever seek help, seek it from Allah alone. He did not tell them, even in one word, he did not make any statement allowing them to call him or to speak to him or address their needs to him. This is shirk. If these people believe that these people have karama, look, they talk. If they have karama, that means they are Superman. They can fly. They can hold a mountain. Let them get rid of Israel, please. Let them get rid of Hamas. We're groaning from these people. Let them give us help. Let them kill at least only, you know, some people who, some rulers whom we're not content with. Let them do that. If they don't do that and they can fly, that means they are dealing with the jinn. But you know, these people of the jinn, they don't like to deal with politics. That's why they don't help them to improve our political miserable situation. SubhanAllah. See, they claim that they enter, what do you call, SubhanAllah, I forget, Furn. What is Furn? Furn, huh? Anyway, there are these people of Tariqa Rifa'iyya. They claim that they can enter ovens and they can take, you know, refreshment inside while the fire is on. And these people, you know, they had problems with Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah said to them, all right, you claim that you can enter the fire. I will enter the fire with you. Ibn Taymiyyah was defending the sunnah of the Prophet. He was defending the tawheed of Allah. So they came, these people, they came to the Sultan at the time of Ibn Taymiyyah. They were complaining. They said, Ibn Taymiyyah is always, you know, speaking against us, denouncing us. The Sultan said, I will not listen from you until I hear from him. Will you come tomorrow and wait and I'll call him? They said, no need, there's no need for that. Just tell him that we are people of karama. He should take that one. He said, no, I will let you meet him tomorrow. And you have to. So he called Ibn Taymiyyah. He said, you must be tomorrow here. Ibn Taymiyyah said, I have made the conduct of the work, I have made the work of the Muwahideen people. I have prayed to Allah at night, most of the night. And I asked Allah to support me with a miracle, to defend the Tawheed of Islam. And to prove to the media that those people who refer people are liars. So, the next day, Ibn Taymiyyah came. And these people, they said, well, we are people of karama. He said, all right, if you are people of karama, I want you to establish fire now, and I will enter fire with you. And may Allah curse the one who will be burned among us. The Sultan said, what? You are going to enter fire with them? He said, yes. I have asked Allah to help me for that. And I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who supported Ibrahim with a miracle because he was defending the Tawheed, I am on the way of Ibrahim. And I want to defend the Tawheed of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expanded my chest. Sharaha sadri. He gave me a feeling. He encouraged me. He gave me an encouragement in my heart. And I feel that I will enter with them. I have no problem with that. So the people said, their leader said, well, our karamat does not, cannot be appeared in front of the scholars. Not against the scholars, not in front of the scholars. Ibn Kathir said in his book, Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah, that this was written as a note against this person who said it. You know, because these people do things that happen in my country. Once a person who used to, you know, bring a knife, a dagger, and he takes it like this, and you see the dagger is entering your body, but you don't feel anything. It's a trick by the jinn. How does it happen? Allahu A'lam. But it happens. I showed you. I'm showing you a picture, and I have it in another book here, in colors. Look, four Buddhists are putting one big stick, long stick. It enters through the first cheek and it gets out of the second. To the next person, to the next person. Look, the other page. This man is entering, is putting this stick through his thumb. Another one, he's putting the small pin and he's speaking. Look, these are Buddhists. So I say to these people, either you are Buddhist like them, either these people have karama, and we cannot say they have karama. They are pagan people. The Buddhists are pagan. Or you are devils like them, and you are not awliya. So, believe me, that person, he wanted to, you know, put the dagger inside of his stomach, just like that. He starts step by step. And one of our brothers, Sunni brothers, he started to recite Ayat al-Kursi. Once he read it, the jinn went away. No way, no more trick. he was a little injured. He said, one among you has an evil spirit. Let him go away. Let him go away. I told you never to have evil spirits among us. I can't have the karama if there is anyone with evil spirit here. Subhanallah. Anyway, so Ibn Taymiyyah said to him, I'll enter fire with you. The man said, alright, we're going to collect whoever loves the Sultan. Let him go to India and bring wood from there. Let him go to that place and bring. He said, oh, you're making it, so you are delaying the case. You are a liar. Yesterday he took 30 dirhams from Ibn Taymiyyah. He cheated him and he took them away, the same person. He said, isn't you who came yesterday to me seeking money, etc. Anyway, Ibn Taymiyyah said, don't make it long. You see this siraj, you know the siraj, the lighter. They put oil and it burns. He said, we have this small lighter. If you are, he said, I will enter fire with you, but in a condition that you bathe yourself, your bodies with vinegar. He knows the trick, even time he knows the trick. Because the Sultan asked him, why? He said, because they put some fats. They put some fat. You know the fat? And it takes time until this fat will be dissolved. So he said, we will both. We'll bathe ourselves with vinegar and hot water. And then we enter together fire. And let's see. May Allah curse the one among us who will get burned. Come, do it. So, the man wanted to delay the case. Ibn Taymiyyah said, we have a small light. Let me wash my finger and your finger. Let us wash our fingers with vinegar and hot water, and we'll both put our fingers. Come on, do it. They repented in front of the Sultan, and they were caught with their lie. Brothers, those who defend the Sunnah and Tawheed are those who deserve to have karama. Not those who are playing tricks. And they say, you see this refrigerator? There is no yogurt inside. I'll show you. Huh? Yogurt. You see, my sheikh, my master, he knew that I want yogurt and he put it in my refrigerator. It's not karma, this is fiction. Why don't they get down to the, you know, to the places of war to fight those who are fighting Islam? Let them prove their karama. But karama only among the unlearned people, the ignorant people. The Sufi, they legislate. They legislate to the people what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow. They make it lawful to them what Allah does not allow. They say, if you say subhanallah 500,000 times in a day, you will be given such and such and such. If you say yahoo, yahoo, yahoo 10,000 times a day, you will be given such reward. If you do that, if you say, they are legislating, they are making themselves lords. The Prophet taught us to say, how many times subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, how many times to praise Allah after salah, what to do before we sleep, at the sundown, the sunset, etc. He gave us these details. Why are you making yourself another prophet, legislating to the people what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not legislate? Did Allah forget? And you remembered? The Sufi people use the dreams as evidences. If you tell him, what is your proof that this is legislated? He say, yes, I saw the Prophet Muhammad yesterday. I asked him, is that allowed or not? He said, yes, do it, come on. They are using the dreams as evidences, as tashri'a, as legislating, making laws through dreams. That's why they related the people with dreams and shadows. And they claim that they see the angels, they see the prophets, they see the spirits, and they see Allah. Yes? Al-Ghazali in his Ihya' al-Din, he said, you put yourself in a dark room, you don't read Quran, you don't read Hadith, you don't read Tafsir, you hide your head in your pocket like this, and you put your head down and your legs up, and you will see God. In his book, Ihya' al-Din. The Sufi people claim that they can get the word kun, fayakun. I'll show you. They claim that the wali can have the power of kun. You know what's the meaning of kun? Be. And it is. They can have it in their hands. They claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O sons of Adam, obey me, I will obey you. Observe me, I will observe you. And I will let you say to the thing, be, and it will be. Qilada bil Jawahir, the Rifa'i, significant important book, page 7. Tabaqat al-Sha'rani, the first volume, page 142, etc. I think, brothers, time is running up, and you will maybe lose your supper. I'm sorry for that, I had something else to mention, but we have no time. Inshallah, we ask Allah to make it a small book in English, and that will be beneficial.
To read the translation, I just forget now. So. Okay, brothers, I was just reading some translation of the Hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam regarding praying the night prayer. Aisha, radiallahu anha, said that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to pray at night. Until his feet get worse. So she asked him, why do you do this? O Prophet Allah, why have you forgiven of all what you have done, all what you have done and what you may do? The Prophet ﷺ said, should I not then be a thankful state? In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, regarding Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah is an excellent man if he continues to offer voluntary prayer at night. Salim says that hereafter, Abdullah ibn Umar, after hearing this, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam slept but little at night. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says that a person was named before the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he continued to sleep throughout the night till dawn. Fajr. That is, he missed his tahajjud prayers. On which the Prophet ﷺ remarked, he is a man in whose ears the shaitan has urinated. In hadith Abdullah ibn Salam, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Prophet ﷺ said, O people, spread salam and feed the poor people and pray at night while people are sleeping, you enter paradise peacefully. In another narration, another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the best month for fasting after Ramadan is the month of Muharram, and the best salah after the prescribed compulsory salah is the tahajjud prayer. These are few of the traditions about this issue. And as you say, the reward for this, for tahajjud prayers of prayer that night is so great that one should do his best to do as much as he can of this. Especially in those days where I was staying here, sleeping here, alhamdulillah, everything is provided. I think this is a chance that shouldn't be missed for that. To help your brothers also, we inshallah will be praying together tomorrow, that is before Fajr of Tuesday, around 2:30. And those who would like to be with us can inshallah be with us in this prayer. Just to clarify the issue, whether it is prescribed or lawful for a group of people to get together to pray voluntary prayer, I was reading what Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah has said about the issue. He said that getting together in those rituals is on one of two kinds. One of them is a thing that has been prescribed to be performed this way, like the five daily prayers, the Friday prayer, the Eid prayer, Kusuf, Istisqa prayer, Taraweeh prayer. So this is the sunnah in that, is to pray together. The other type is that it is not the sunnah, it is not the regular sunnah to get together and do it, like praying at night or reciting the Quran or making dhikr or dua or whatever. However, there is no harm of doing so if it is not done as a habit. And then he mentioned some of the narrations that the Prophet ﷺ used to do this at some times. So then he said, if people agreed to meet together and pray at night without taking this as a habit, that they do it regularly or at prescribed times, so it resembles then the prescribed prayers that has to be done this way, then this is not makruh. This is not makruh, but they could do so. But taking it as a habit or fixing a time, or weekly or monthly or whatever, to do it in this time is makruh, because it is changing. It is some sort of change to the Sharia and making things that are not prescribed similar to the prescribed things. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Generally, Sufis as a concept, what they believe in is they believe that there's some sort of hidden knowledge, that in some way or another they receive some sort of knowledge about Allah which allows them to worship him in a special way, not necessarily following the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they consider themselves the elite, and they consider the people to be the general folk. And they have many deviant beliefs. And there are many Sufi orders. I mean, the Sufi orders are historically in the thousands. And now there are many prevalent orders left. One is in Africa, called the Tijani Order. And there are other orders in other areas of the Islamic world. Now, the Tijani Order is a recent occurrence in the Islamic world. The person who started it was born, according to the Islamic reckoning, of the years 1150, which is, by Christian reckoning, the year 1737. And he came from an area near Morocco, and he was from a Berber descent. And he claimed that he was the son of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he received a certain revelation and so forth. They have certain books. In the United States, the appearance of the Tijani Order came across a person, an individual by the name of Hassan Assisi, who came from somewhere in West Africa, I'm not really sure, from Senegal. And he appeared in the United States, and he started to spread this order. And this order has become prevalent in the United States, and especially in the East Coast, due to him trying to use methods to get the African-American brothers by saying, this is the religion of the people, or the way of practicing Islam in West Africa, and you are originally from West Africa, so you should follow this order, and so forth. This is his thrust of his argument, to grab the people. Their beliefs are very extreme. In fact, many scholars have considered them to be outside of the fold of Islam as a group, and that is because of what they have innovated in religion. There is an excellent work in the English language written by the chief Qadi of northern Nigeria, Abubakar Gumi.
What is
Qadi? Qadi means judge. Okay? Sheikh Abubakar Gumi, who is now a man who is over 80 years old. And he has written a very nice book which has been translated to English, and I've seen it many times being sold in New York, and likewise I believe Brother Idris has a copy of it, so one can photocopy for the brothers in the masjid. Another great scholar, an African scholar by the name of Abdurrahman bin Yusuf of Africa, has written another excellent work against the Tijanis, and this scholar is a sheikh of the most eminent Islamic scholars in Medina today. Those scholars originally are from Africa, and he himself was originally from Africa, and Sheikh Abdurrahman bin Yusuf, rahmatullah alayhi, he had died in the last 20 or 30 years. But he wrote this in the 50s, you know, 40s and 50s. Likewise, another book, excellent book against the Tijanis, which is also in Arabic, is written by Sheikh Taqiyuddin al-Hilali, who was the brother who translated with Brother Muhsin Khan the Quran al-Karim according to the Tafsir of Mukathir, and also translated Sahih al-Bukhari. He has a work in Arabic against the Tijanis, which Brother Idris, I believe, possesses. So there are many works against them, you know, and as an occurrence. But briefly, what are some of their beliefs? They have the basic concepts, like most Sufi groups. They have their own way of mentioning Allah, their own way of doing certain acts of worship and so forth. But they have certain beliefs which throw them outside of the fold of Islam. One of their beliefs, according to one of their books, as quoted by Sheikh Abdurrahman bin Yusuf of Africa, that in their main book, their, you might say, Quran, quote-unquote, is a book called Jawahar al-Ma'ani, which was written by a student of Ahmed Tijani, the one who opened this sect, started this sect. And he says in this book, Jawahar al-Ma'ani, he says that I have a certain wird, which is a way of remembering Allah, which the Prophet ﷺ saved for me. And he didn't teach it to any of his companions, because he knew that I would appear in a later century, and then he told me this wird, you know. So this is, you know, a lie, because Allah in the Quran says, in the Quran Allah says in Surah 5, verse 67, O Messenger, Ya ayyuhar Rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbika. Preach and spread what Allah has sent down to you. You see? So how could Allah in the Quran says that Allah ordered the Prophet to tell us what was sent down to him? And here, Prophet ﷺ is holding this special type of dhikr to Ahmed Tijani. He doesn't tell Abu Bakr, doesn't tell Umar, doesn't tell Uthman Ali. And then after the Prophet's death, some 1,000 years later, he appears in a dream and gives a man this whip. I mean, this is, you know, obviously against Islamic beliefs. A second statement is that, and this is why the scholars consider him a kufr, they have a special prayer which is called Salatul Fatih, the prayer of opening. Okay? And it says, it starts off, O Allah, open, which is what is locked. It doesn't make any sense. It's about 6 lines. Okay? And it starts off, O Allah, open what is locked. And this prayer, they said, according to Jawahar al-Ma'ani, on page 96, it says that this prayer is equivalent to every single statement like Subhanallah or praise of Allah ever said in the universe. This one prayer, just to say it once. And that also, it is equal to reciting the Quran 6,000 times, which is disbelief. How can 6 lines made by a man 1,000 years after the Prophet ﷺ be equivalent to reading the Quran 6,000 times? I mean, what kind of kufr disbelief is that, you know? The third thing is that whoever, as mentioned in the book Al-Ifadah, page 80, whoever doesn't believe that Salat al-Fatih is really from the Quran, he will not gain this blessing. Okay, so they're saying that this prayer of 6 lines, O Allah, open that which is locked. If you don't believe it's from the Quran, you won't gain this blessing. So they're adding to the Quran that which is not there. The fourth prayer, fourth statement is in a book called Al-Ifad al-Ahmadiyya. And on page 74, this Ahmed Tijani is saying that on the Day of Judgment, a mimbar, a pulpit of light will be given to me. And everybody of the creation, from Adam to the last man, will hear, and they will say, this is your true imam, whether you knew about it or not. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ said that he is the khatib. He is the preacher on the Day of Judgment. So what they're saying is, no, really Ahmed Tijani will have a pulpit of light placed for him, and then the angels will announce, this was your imam whether you knew it or not. So we're all under his, you know, thumb, you know, on the Day of Judgment. For instance, they have a prayer called Jawharat al-Kamal, that you cannot recite this, they say, according to Jawahir al-Ma'ani, page 105, unless you have complete purity. And we know that we can recite Quran even if you don't have wudu. Yes, the scholars have said that, some scholars, you cannot read the Quran from the mushaf unless you have wudu. But, for instance, if you don't have wudu, you can say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. There's no harm in this. But this prayer, no. You have to have wudu. So the respect given to this prayer is more than the respect given to the Quran. And this, of course, is yani not accepted. And on page 57, Ahmed Tijani says in his book, Ifadat Ahmadiyya, that the Messenger of Allah forbade him from calling Allah by his names. You cannot say, Oh Ar-Rahman, have mercy with me. Oh Ar-Rahim, have mercy with me. But rather, he told me to pray to him through Salat al-Fatih. And that's also, I mean, foolishness. And they have another thing, that Jawahir Ahmed Tijani claimed that whoever sees me in a dream or otherwise on Jum'ah or on Monday, he will enter paradise without any reckoning or any punishment. So just to see him will be a cause for you to enter paradise. And that is against also, you know. And they have different beliefs like this, okay? I also have something which shows their is a book prepared by them. And it has Hassan Sisi's name upon it. And just to give you an idea of what kind of mentality they try to get in. What they do, as all these sects do, all these straight sects. You see, according to Islam, the way we believe that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is our leader and our imam, we obey him. Why? Because Allah sent him as a messenger of mankind, and he's the best of the creation. There is not a single scholar, or imam, or good brother, or righteous man who deserves to be obeyed completely. Okay? What these other sects do, the other sects do, they make slaves out of their followers. And look what the conditions they have for being a Tijani. Okay, the essential conditions. Or these are conditions to be, there are 20 conditions according to Hassan Sisi for being a Tijani. First of all, you must have permission from an authority to join the group. Okay, so they said, you must have a pious muqaddam, which is like the lieutenant or something like that, with correct permission or authority allows you to join the Tijani sect. And they have some other things, and over here they said, number 9, you must love Sheikh Tijani. Why? Because he loves Allah and he might help you become closer to Allah. How can a man who's been dead for over 100, 200 years help me become closer to Allah? Because they worship this man and they go to his grave and so forth and they invoke him and so forth. And look what they say over here. You should know that the enemies of the Shaykh, this is 14, should also be your enemies. You see? So they're binding them to this. You must have, number 16, do not criticize the Shaykh, Ahmed Tijani. That's number 16. And other things. Number 20, do not give initiation to the tariqah without permission. That means if you're not a lieutenant, you can't bring anybody else into the tariqah. You see? So what they do is they look for people who are either new Muslims, people who don't know them. What they do is they bring you slowly by slowly. That's why they said you can't give permission to join the sect unless you are a lieutenant, because you have to know how to, you know, brainwash people step by step. And look at some of the foolishness they have. They have a dua, which I told you about, Jawahir al-Kamal, which they said you have to have complete wudu to read it. They say, in order to read Jawahir al-Kalam, you should have ablution with water, as I said, and you must be in a place where the capacity is for a minimum of 6 persons. The Holy Prophet, the 4 caliphs, and yourself. And that's because if you read this prayer, they believe that the Prophet attends, and the 4 caliphs, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, attend. So you have to be sitting in a place that has enough room for 6 people. So if you're sitting, for instance, in a crowded bus or something like that, or in the metro, you can't say this prayer, because how are they going to fit, you know, if there's no room for them and so forth. And this is the type of, you know, mentality they have. They also say on page 8 of this little booklet they have, they say on page 8 over here, is that when they are doing their prayer, their wadifa, their, you know, work or this prayer, they said when they're reading Jawahir al-Kamal, that first you have to have a clean environment, you must have ablution, the people should be performed in a ring, people around, and you should all recite in one voice. They have that Sufi dhikr in one voice. And they say it is recommended to be done consciously. You should have to imagine that the Prophet Muhammad is there, and then you spread in between the circle a clean white cloth in the center of the ring when reciting Jawahir al-Kamal, because we believe the Holy Prophet and the four caliphs join the Wadlif at this point. So what they do is when they sit in a circle, then they put in between themselves a white cloth, so the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the four caliphs come and sit amongst them. That's why you need enough room like that. This is how they worship Allah with this foolishness, you know.
And who's the author of that?
And this is the author. This is a classical book, but it's translated by Hassan Assisi and Haji Lawad, some other individual of theirs. And I have been informed by brothers, and Brother Dries has informed me, that in New York City, they will wear his picture on the face of their watch. So when they reflect on Allah, they can reflect through Hassan Assisi. And they have t-shirts with him and with their picture on their face and so forth. And these people, if you look at their religion, they base their religion upon shirk. Their whole thing in Africa is worshipping graves. And they have become... A new person who joined the Tijani sect became one of their major leaders and is still alive today. He said that in order to become to go to paradise, you just have to become a Tijani. You do not have to even become a Muslim. You don't have to say the Shahada. You don't have to do the Salawat. You don't have to fast from Ramadan. All you have to do is just to say that you're part of the Tijani Brotherhood and leave any other affiliation with any other tariqa, Sufi tariqa, or any other group. When he did this, in the 50s and 60s, or the 40s or whatever, the Tijani sect spread like wildfire in Africa. Because the pagans, the animists, who are not even Muslims or Christians in the first place, they would come to them and say, look, you will gain this, this, and this paradise as long as you say you give your pledge allegiance with the Tijanis and you're willing to fight and die for this man. So they would accept it, you see what I'm saying? And this is how they got there, and they told them, look, if you're a Tijani, you don't have to pray. You don't have to have any restrictions in Islam. You don't have to worry about having sex inside marriage or outside marriage. You don't have to fast. You don't have to do anything like this in order to gain this benefit. Because of the barakah, they say, the sheikh is so great that he will protect you from any punishment of the hellfire. Yes, it's better if you follow the laws of Islam, but you don't have to if you don't want to. So the people in West Africa, and it spread all the way to East Africa, through Sudan, have accepted this da'wah. And it has become a great fitna for the people of Islam. That's why the scholars of Africa have written many works in Arabic and in their local languages warning the people from this sect. And now they've taken this and brought it to the United States, the East Coast, and they try to spread it in their practices. Just like the...
Huh?
Well, since the 70s, you know. But they come and go, depending on how many follow. Yeah. And... just like the in the Qadianis, you know, in Pakistan and East Africa, they spread the Pakistani scholars have written a lot of things. Likewise, the scholars are learned scholars and teachers from Africa who follow the Quran and Sunnah. The scholars of Ahlus Jama'ah have warned the Muslims from this in their writings in Arabic and also in their local languages. So that's in brief some of these people's beliefs and so forth. They also believe in witness and wujud, that everything is Allah. Ahmed Tijani says that the person who makes sajda or who prays to other than Allah, in reality, he's only praying to Allah because Allah manifests himself in everything. Oh, okay. These are some of their beliefs, you know, pantheism.
If a person prays to a pig, it's okay.
Yeah, if a person, like when the Christians tomorrow go and pray in the church, it is in reality that they're praying to Allah. And that's why, you know, you can be a Tijani, just say that you give the man the bay'ah, and you will join, you will go to paradise, you see. And Ahmed Tijani said, whoever sees me will go to paradise, whether he believes me or not, and also whoever sees my followers and their followers. So this is some of the claims they made. And they have many books, 5 or 6 books, which is like their Quran and so forth. So the point is they try to fool our American brothers who are new into the Jihad and might not have a strong background to Aqidah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you all soldiers in his path and, you know, warn the brothers in the best way concerning this group.
I have a question.
No, Brother Imam.
This is called Sufism.
This is one faith.